Please turn with me to Psalm 103. One of my favorite psalms. And for a little background, when I, many years ago, I went to visit Mrs. Matthews. Some of us remember her here, the older ones remember Mrs. Matthews. If I'm not mistaken, she's the one who actually provided these verses on the wall. That's what I was told. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody could correct me. She was a very nice little woman, Mrs. Matthews. Charlene and I were at her funeral many years ago, and she was born in 1898, and she was even older than Mr. Batstone, so she had a couple of years on him. But one time, Mrs. Matthews slipped and fell, and she broke her ankle, and she was up in years at the time, and she was in the hospital. It was City Hospital there. It's not City Hospital anymore. Worcester used to have quite a number of hospitals. And she was in City Hospital, and we went to visit her. And on the way there, I drove Mr. Batstone, and some of us remember him too, of course. And he warned me as we got into the car and we started to drive. He said, "Now, Michael," I was just young. You didn't know me then. But I was young, and he said, "Now, Michael, bear in mind, now she's probably discouraged. So, you know, just be prepared to encourage her." I said, "All right." So we got into there. It was a semi-private room, and we got into the room, and there was Mrs. Matthews on the far end of the room, and she had her leg up, and it was on a pulley, of course, to make sure that it didn't swell up too much. And as soon as she saw us, she broke into a big smile, and she said, "Oh, come on in, come on in." I just looked at Mr. Batstone, and I said, "She's not discouraged." And she says, "Look at this. This is what I want to show you." And I was young at the time, and I really didn't know much. I still don't know much about God's Word, but I know more than I used to. No one is an expert, of course. And it was Psalm 103. And she said, "I want you to see this." And she started going on about Psalm 103, and she started reading it. And she was all smiles and happy as can be because she was in God's Word. And she said, "I want to point this out to you. So let's start reading it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." Wonderful so far, isn't it? Wonderful. Verse 10, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Isn't that wonderful? Your grandchildren. "To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandment to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye who his angels that excel in strength. that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. That's everywhere. His dominion is everywhere. The devil is not in charge of hell, you know. Some people seem to think that. God is in charge of everything. That's his dominion. That means dominion is from the Latin word that's for Lord, domine. That's where it's from. And he is Lord of all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The psalm ends the same way it begins. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The purpose of this meeting, I mentioned before recently that our family has gone through some hard times. And I know our sister Jania is going through hard times now, and our brother Wade is going through a trying time. There's many, many things that seem to afflict God's people. And why? Why would that be? Aren't you supposed to be happy all the time? If your God is your God, and God is the God of all joy, many of us are bereaved. You know, you're either going to bury them or they're going to bury you. That's the way it works. And all of us have lost our loved ones who are closest to us, and they've gone off into eternity. Now, even if you know that they're going to heaven and it's a wonderful thing, there's a sadness there. There's a grief there. There's a real sense of loss. Well, why does that happen? Why are we grieved? Why do troubles come? Well, for one thing, we're living in a fallen creation. You have to bear that in mind. In fact, it's quite obvious. You hardly ever have to work at bearing that in mind because it happens to us all the time. And I'm not going to say that there's a cure for this, except to say that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. That's in the Psalms. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Here's another verse. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now, as long as we are in the world, we're going to have trouble in the world. And those of us who have a lot of unsaved family or unsaved friends, a lot of the times I've had it said to me when I've tried to witness to some of my family and some of my friends who really know a lot of about me and a lot about my circumstances, they will say, I'm better off than you are. My health is better. I certainly have more money than you, I'm sure. I didn't tell them how much I have, but they seem to think that they drive a better car. They have a better job. They have this, they have that. And they say, I'm doing all right. And I can look them in the eye and say, no, you're not. You're not doing all right. I know you're not doing all right. And they'll reply to me every time. They'll say, how do you know? I know you're not doing all right because you don't have Christ. That's why I know you're not doing all right. You don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, and I try not to be smug about it, and I'm not. That's not my attitude. I have a care for them. Now, here's the thing. And well, they'll turn around and say to me, well, look, what good would it be for me to be a Christian? You're going through the same things, the same troubles that I have. I don't see the difference. I said, there is a difference. You know what the difference is? The same troubles, losing your job, car accidents, sickness, financial reverses? Bad things happen to you just like they do to me? What's the difference? Here's the difference. The difference is in the purpose behind all of these things. There's a purpose behind all of these things. Personal difficulties God allows into everyone's life for a different reason. The reason is different. God is sovereign. Look, we just read about it. It's a comfort. Look at verse 8, for instance. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is God withholding those things that we truly do deserve. This is really the fatherhood of God. I told you before, and I'm not being irreverent. God is, if you're saved, God is not only your father, he's your dad. He's your dad. There's a lot of boys around, running around today, and I'm intimately acquainted with quite a few of them. I know them quite well. They had bad dads, or no dad. And what happened was, those boys, you can see the difference between a boy who's grown up now, the one that had a dad, and the one that did not have a dad. Every boy has a father. I'm talking about a dad. A dad, I don't have to explain what a dad is. A dad is a dad. He's there for you. And just like the prodigal son, his dad ran to get him. Now, in those days, a Jewish man of a certain position in life did not run. He did not run. Running was the place of a servant. You better scuttle, man. You better run and do the master's will. But a man that reached a certain stature never ran. This dad ran to meet his son. The Lord Jesus Christ said so. That was a dad. That was a dad. God the Father, and I say it as reverently as I can, is a dad. That's where the term Abba means. Abba, Father. The purposes of God. God deals with us as Christians as his kids. And I'm not being careless in using the word kids. His children. His kids. He's a dad. He's a dad. Christ our Lord said so. Abba, Father. That's how he called his father. He called him Abba, Father. That means dad. A term of endearment. Not just a biological parent. It's a term of endearment. All right. Here's the answer to the question. There's several answers to this question. Why does the same thing happen to the Christians as it does to the unsaved? You're here in the world. You're living in a fallen creation. Suppose nothing bad ever happened to a Christian. Nothing. Everything was fine. Do you know that people would sign up as Christians for the wrong reason? They say, I want that. I don't want trouble. I want to tiptoe through the tulips. I want to go through life with no trouble. Everybody wants that, but that's why people would say that they're saved. They wouldn't be saved because they don't come to Christ for the right reason. God doesn't let us go through these things for the same reason he lets the unsaved go through the same things. What God does through sorrow is bring us closer to himself. It's the chastening of God. Now, his mercy, he withholds a lot of things from us that we don't go through. But we all know unsaved people who know what we're going through. And they see us going through it, and some of them will get the wrong impression. They'll say, as I said before, why should I become a Christian? And I always tell them, I said, if you don't become a Christian, you will die in your sins and you will go to hell. I don't give them the prosperity gospel that God wants me rich. If you want to get saved, you'll be rich and you won't have any problems. All your problems will be over. That's not true. It's not true. You go through the same problems as the rest of the world, but for a different reason. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, the wonderful chapter right after the faith chapter in Hebrews. And we see some of the things that God's people in chapter 11 went through. But in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, wherefore, that means because of all of these things in Hebrews chapter 11, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Do you have a besetting sin? I do. I'll just tell you what it is. The Bible says we should confess our sins one to another, and I'll just tell you. I have a lot of them. I'll just tell you one of them. I have a lack of patience. I do. And it's a terrible sin. It's a terrible sin. I don't have the patience that I should have. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the contradiction of sinners. He had the patience. He was Christ. And I would love to have the patience that the Lord Jesus, and you know what? God's given it to me. He's giving it to me as I get older, and I need patience more, and I am more cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I ask him for it, and he gives it to me. It's not easy, but he gives it to me. It doesn't mean my afflictions will suddenly go away. It means that I'll be able to work through them. You see? And what happens is I'm being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the task of every Christian on the earth, is to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we have affliction. That's one reason. Another reason is to stimulate worship. You need to be broken. We all do. We need to be broken. Before we're any good for God, we need to be broken. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. It's not pleasant going through it. But somebody once told me, you know, I used to talk to a lot of older people. I liked older people. Now I am one. But I used to talk to older people when I was young because I liked them better. That sounds strange in our youth culture. But I liked older people. I used to visit nursing homes and talk to them. And they never disappointed. They always gave me a completely different point of view than I had. And I said, wow, I never thought of that. It made me much more contemplative. I contemplated these things that they taught me. And it was a great thing because I got to see things from a different point of view. And it was true what they said, especially the Christians, because they told me about the Bible. And they said from God's point of view, this is what it looks like. And so look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, this is patience, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We worshiped him this morning. We told God what we thought about his son. That's what worship really is, talking to God about his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That means thanking God the Father for God the Son. That means exalting him. He can't be exalted any higher than he is. He's at God's throne, which we see right here at the right hand of the throne of God. What does it mean to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify him? You can't make him any bigger. If I took a magnifying glass and put it on something that was really small, it didn't make that thing look, it made the thing look bigger, but it didn't make it any bigger. You can't make the Lord Jesus Christ any bigger than he is. He's the greatest person there is. There's none higher than he. But what happens is that we magnify him. How do we do that? When the unsaved see us going through the very same things that they're going through, and they see that you're growing, and that these things, you don't like them, But you're not cursing God, as Job was admonished to do by his wife, curse God and die. What did Job do? He sinned not in all of these things. He magnified God. When he spoke about God to his friends, he magnified the Lord. He never blamed God for anything. He presented God, and that is why people look to the book of Job when they go through things. I know somebody that's in jail right now. He tried to kill somebody with a knife. Now, right now, his favorite book is Job. And he's reading it. He learned to read in jail. He's reading it, and it's helping him. He got saved. He's a Christian. Now, that makes a big difference in a person's life. And hopefully he'll continue to grow as a Christian. But listen, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Where's your peace? The peace is in the Lord. In the Lord. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's in Job too. The judge of all the earth will do right. And that's the confidence that we enjoy. I'm frustrated as can be. Now, frustration always results in anger of one kind or another. When you get frustrated, even animals that get frustrated, if you have a dog with a bone and you take it away from him, that dog is frustrated. Now he becomes angry. And you're likely to get his bad side. It happens to people as well. When you frustrate them, somebody's riding your bumper, you're driving down the road, and he'll lean on his horn or he'll do something. You're obeying the speed limit. He wants to break the speed limit. What I do is I just pull over. Usually if it's safe, I'll pull over and let that person go by. You know why? Not because I'm a wimp. I don't want that man to sin. I'll pass him by, and plus I don't want him to get in an accident. Now, he might end up with a speeding ticket as he zooms past me, but that's beyond my control. But it's better to pull over and not frustrate that person. That's the attitude that the Lord was speaking about when he said, turn the other cheek. Now, the same problems that happen to the unsaved happen to Christians, but bear in mind, it's for a different purpose. God doesn't waste anything. Do you know that the water that you have in the earth right now is the same water that was here when Noah and the ark was here? It's a closed system. Where'd the other water come from? If there's any additional water, it doesn't come from outer space. It's a closed system, and God recycles everything. He doesn't waste anything. Your troubles and tribulations and mine are not wasted if it yields the right fruit in your life. It can be to your profit and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. People see you going through the same thing they're going through, but you go through it better. That's a witness. That's a real witness. That's part of the reason why we're still here and have not gone home to heaven. Everybody here is saved because of somebody else that was saved, either through the publication of a gospel tract, a Bible study in the home, a gospel effort. It all involved people that were already saved. How did they get saved? By somebody that was before them saved. And they were a witness on the earth. That's why we're here. So when bad things happen to you, you don't have to ask why. I just told you why. That's what God says. The mercies of God are sure. And as you see these things and go through them, it's very difficult to go through them. Very difficult. But we go through, and God is the one that walks us through them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The people that are facing death in the hospital, for instance, a long terminal illness, the ones that have Christ, if they bear that burden, and everybody in that ward knows that that person is dying, and they have a peace about them that other people can see, doesn't that speak to people? I think it does. I think it does. It certainly spoke to me, and I was already saved when I saw people that I knew going into eternity. They had that peace, peace that passes understanding. You know what? I'm glad I have that. Now, here's the thing. You're going to go through it, and God says you will. Look at verse 3 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." That's the reason why we go through these things. If Christ went through it, we follow him through these difficulties. And not only follow him, following his steps, follow his steps, as Peter said, he's there with us. He's not gone so far ahead that we can't see him. I want to walk hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ, if I might say it that way. He's the good shepherd. And if I keep him in sight as I follow him and follow him closely, I've got to keep my shepherd in my sight. He's the encourager. He's the one that encourages and gives strength and comfort. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a shepherd we have. Thank thee, Father, for thy living word, thy written word, which speaks so much about thy Son. He's in on every page. We want to be conformed to his image. We want to be more like him. We pray, Father, for Junia going through hard times now. We pray for Wade, same. And all those bereaved, we think of the Swaim family. Father, we ask thy blessing upon each one of these and so many more besides. We ask thy blessing, Father, and thy help day by day. Sometimes, Father, we ask thee for minute by minute help, but thou art always there. And we thank thee for being there for us. Thank thee for thy Son most of all, who died, Father, in our place at Calvary. Thank thee. In the Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.